If you have your Bibles, let me invite you. Take them and turn with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. And this morning, we came in. We got here a little bit early to finish getting some things set up and ready for this morning. And I'll tell you, if it could have went wrong this morning, it went wrong. We got ready to leave, and it wasn't raining yet, but just as we got ready to step out the door, whoosh, here comes the rain. So we grabbed our umbrellas, and praise the Lord for umbrellas, and we were able to get over here and not get wet, so that was a blessing. We come in, and we get everything turned on, and we start hearing leaks. And so I go in my office. There's a leak in my office. The baptistry here decided it wanted to spring a leak. Then I come over here to get the computer started. The computer did not want to cooperate. Everything that could have went wrong, went wrong. And so this morning, I think, at least for myself, I could use some good news. And that's what I want us to look at this morning, is just some good news from a good book. You're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice there, if you would, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You notice there in verse number 1, Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel." For a few moments this morning, that's the thought I want us to focus on. That's the thought I want us to hone in on, the gospel, the good news. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you for your love and your mercy. And Father, we do thank you again for this time that we have to come and open your word and sing your praises. And now open your word to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian you'd have us to be. And Father, this morning as we think about the good news, as we think about the gospel, Father, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ as their Savior, if there be one here this morning that they themselves have not yet believed the gospel, Father, I pray they not leave this place without getting it settled, 100% sure that heaven's their home, that Christ is their Savior, that their sins are forgiven. And Father, for all that you'll do this morning, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you and we need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so the question becomes, as we think about the good news, well, what is the gospel? Very simple. Notice there, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received," here's the gospel, "how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So gospel point number one, Christ died for our sins. But not only did he die for our sins, verse number 4, that he was buried. So after he died, after he was taken down off the cross, he was put into a tomb. So he died, he was buried, But not only did he die and was buried, but also verse number 4, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we see here that Christ's death, and I could get into all of the terms of salvation, and they're wonderful terms this morning. We think about his substitutionary atonement. You say, what is substitutionary atonement? Very simple. Christ at that moment took our place, being our substitute on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for my sins. He died a substitutionary death. He became the propitiation, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. His death on the cross was not just enough to cover your sins and my sins, but it was enough to cover the sins of the entire world. It was the propitiation of our sins. But we see not only did he die, not only was he buried, but he didn't stay buried. He rose again the third day, and by doing so, became a conqueror of death. He became a conqueror of the tomb. He defeated Satan. He defeated the devil, the world, sin, the flesh, everything that you could think of, that when he rose again that third day, he defeated it in that resurrection. And because of this gospel, because of this good news, we have the truth this morning that God wants everybody to be 100% certain that when we die, we will go to heaven. If you're here this morning, God wants you to know 100% sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that when you die, you're going to heaven. That when you die, you're going to spend eternity with him forever in heaven. Now, there are some that, as we go out into this world, they say, well, you just can't be 100% certain of that. Well, according to the scriptures, according to the Bible, according to the word of God this morning, you can be sure 100% that as we just sang that song, saved, saved, I'm saved, saved, saved. You can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven, that Christ is your Savior, and that heaven is your home. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He has given us the book. He has given us the Bible. He has given us the instruction manual to know just that, that we might have eternal life. That we might know that one day we're going to heaven. But there's some things that we have to come to a conclusion about before we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one this morning, God is holy. God is holy. That means this morning that God created everything. And by the way, when he created everything perfectly. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was no decay. There was no deterioration. When he created this world, it was perfect. It wasn't until, as the Bible says, whereby one man, sin, entered into the world. When Adam and Eve, they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is when the deterioration came. That is when the decay came. That is when the disease came. That is when the heartache came. That's when the sorrow came. That's when the sin came into this sinful old world, is at that fall of Adam and Eve. But before that, when God created this world, God created everything perfectly. You say, how could he do it? Well, simple. He himself is perfect. God is perfect. And nothing this morning and no one is greater than God. No one is more powerful than him. You see, this morning, God made you to love him more than anything else, and to serve him forever and for all of eternity. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about two types of servants that we find in the Bible. Number one, we talked about the hired servant, the one who is hired for his work, the one who has set a prescribed task list, the one who is prescribed a certain pay, a certain salary. You know, that servant knows exactly what he's going to do. And then we talked about the bond servant. And the bond servant was to do whatever the master told him to do. And we saw that as Christians this morning, that we are bond servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is he would have us to do, then as his servants, we're to do it. We are his bond servants. We are to serve him forever and for all of eternity. Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created." Psalm 29 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And so we see this morning, God is holy. But then we have a problem. God is holy, but then secondly this morning, we are sinful. We are sinners. You see, man chose to love and serve God instead of God. They chose to love and serve themselves instead of God. We all know the account of creation. We all know the account of Adam and Eve. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he told them, "Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, except that one in the middle. Don't touch it, don't eat of it, for the day you eat thereof, ye shall surely die." Now, what happens when you tell somebody not to do something? They're going to do it. That's spoken like a true child. They're going to do it. "Now, don't touch that cookie jar." "Where did the cookies go?" "I don't know." With cookie crumbs around your lips. You see, it's just our human nature. We're told not to do something. The stove's hot. Don't touch it. How'd you burn your hand? "Oh, I don't know. I don't want to talk about that." Why? It's our human nature. We're told not to do something. We do it anyway. And that's what Adam and Eve did. Of course, they had a little help with the serpent. The serpent comes and said, "Yea, hath God said?" And he puts some doubt in their minds about what God said. But we're sinful. And now because of that, everything is broken. Everything is hurting. Everything we see around us today that is sinful and wrong and wicked and broken in our world, it all can be traced back to when sin entered into the world. If you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And when sin is finished with something, it leaves behind nothing but broken and hurt. And see, this morning our hearts are sinful. And the result of sin is death and eternal judgment in hell. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the Bible says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Oh, but the verse goes on. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, yes, this morning God is holy. And so, yes, this morning we are sinful. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ took our place on the cross of Calvary. You see, this morning, Jesus, the Son of God, God come in the flesh, came to rescue us from our sin. He obeyed the law for us. He died for us. He rose again for us so that you and I, we might have eternal life through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means when we talk about a substitutionary atonement. He was our substitute on the cross of Calvary. You think about when you were in school and you got in the class and the teacher wasn't there yet. And then all of a sudden this adult comes in that you don't quite recognize, but you know they're a teacher, but you know they're not your teacher. You're having a substitute that day. Didn't that just make your heart giddy with joy when it was a substitute and not the regular teacher? Because a substitute doesn't usually know what's going on. I was watching a movie just the other day, back from the 80s, Stand and Deliver. And it was a true story. And this high school math teacher there in California, he started teaching his high school class calculus. And well, he went out, he had a health issue that took him out of the classroom, and they sent in this substitute, and it was a gym teacher. Now, and he said, "I'm a gym teacher. I don't know much about calculus." Well, guess what they weren't doing that day? Calculus. And the substitute always seemed like a day off, even though we were in school. But we got happy because of it. And guess what? When we think about Christ being our substitute by taking our place on Calvary, that ought to make us rejoice. That ought to make us happy. That he took our place that you and I should have been in that place on Calvary. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 10:10, the Bible says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And so, yes, this morning, God is holy. Yes, this morning, you and I, we're sinful. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ took our place. And because of that, today, Jesus freely offers salvation. It's a free gift, no strings attached. You don't ever have to be baptized. You don't ever have to join a church. You don't ever have to give an offering. You don't ever have to do any of that. But you do have to put your faith and your trust in him. And by the way, if you do that, if he saves you and you really get saved, all those other things will come as a result, because you'll want to do those things because you love him. But he offers salvation this morning with no strings attached. Romans 6:23 again, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What's a gift? It's something freely given. Your birthday comes, somebody gives you a gift, and then they turn around and say, "Well, okay, now you owe me $7 for that." Well, then that's not a gift. You turn around and for Christmas, someone gives you a Christmas gift and they say, "Okay, now you got to work for me for 20 hours to pay that off." Well, then that's not a gift. A gift is just something, what? Freely given. But then not only freely given, it's a gift that's freely accepted. And how do we accept that gift? Simple, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and by confessing him with our mouth. Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so this morning you say, what do we have to do in order to be saved? Very simple this morning. You have to respond. You have to respond. The words "believe" and "faith" simply mean to trust. The good news this morning, the gospel, is that a person is saved when they trust God's promise of salvation in Jesus. This morning, all you have to do is turn from your sins and trust what Jesus did in your place. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This morning, you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are saved. You can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that Christ is your Savior. You can know that heaven's your home. And you can do that this morning by simply talking to God. You see, this morning, the Bible is how God talks to us. Prayer is how we talk to God. You see, this morning, saying or repeating special words, that's not what saves us. It's our faith in Jesus alone that saves us. And so this morning, if you know you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus has already done everything for you to be saved, and by the way, he has, there's nothing you can do this morning that can save you that hasn't already been done by the sinless Son of God. When he hung there on that cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't mean he was finished. He met God's redemptive plan for all of the ages. It was finished. It was complete. Nothing more to be added. Nothing more to be subtracted. All that was waiting now was for you to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so simply this morning, confess your sin and trust his promise of salvation today. You say, what's the good news? That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and the third day rose again. That's the good news this morning. That's the gospel. You say, Pastor, how do I get to heaven? Believe the gospel. Believe the good news. Accept the good news. And what Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.